Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Chris Bosch back on the show. We talk a little NBA playoffs with him, his new book. We also have a lot of things to get to. We have Coach K retiring. We have Brad Stevens retiring. We have Firefest of the Week. We have the conclusion of the Suns-Lakers game, which we stayed up for, not to brag. We have all of it, and we're brought to you by our friends. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. Today is Friday, June 4th. Can you hear my smile?
Is LeBron James done or is he finished?
Let me just read a quote for you, PFT. It starts with my accountability and trickles down to everybody else. These shoulders were built for a reason, and if it takes for me to put more on top of it, then so be it. That was LeBron James before game 5, the game that he left with 5 minutes and 45 seconds left, and then game 6, when the Phoenix Suns have eliminated the Lakers, and LeBron James, is that it?
So I think all this talk about retiring this week, all the discussion that's been going on, retiring is kind of hot in the streets right now. My prediction for this offseason is that LeBron James, he's going to pull like an Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to publicly flirt with retiring, but privately he's going to be like, I'm going to come back. But he wants people to talk about whether or not this is the end of the road for him. And then he'll come back and the Lakers will be dominant because Anthony Davis is going to be healthy. And by the way, Charles Barkley with the Anthony street clothes Davis line. First of all, what are street clothes?
Street clothes are clothes you wear on the street.
On the street.
Yeah.
Because whenever I see somebody wearing street clothes, it's always stuff that's way nicer than anything I would wear on a street.
Oh, yeah.
On any public road. But then he came out, gave it a go, and then Charles Barkley made fun of the Lakers and Anthony Davis for trying to play on a shattered groin tonight. So I don't know.
I feel like the Joker right now, chasing cars, and once you catch up to him, you don't know what to do. Because I got to admit, I've been looking forward to this night for a very long time because it feels like, you know, LeBron has never lost in the first round. It happens tonight. He's old. He's 36. He's not as dominant as he used
to be. So old.
He's never going to be 100% again. He said it himself.
Anthony Davis, not a free agent.
Free agent. The false news, fake news media tried to get it.
Strike it from the record.
Strike it for stricken. I am kind of sad. I don't know why. Right. So I'm conflicted.
I'm torn because I think almost every single postseason for the last 5 years, I've said this is the year that LeBron James loses in the first round.
Right.
So I want to take a victory lap because this time I was right when I predicted it, and I like the Suns.
Needed an Anthony Davis injury, which I...
The Suns are fun,
yeah,
too.
The Suns are awesome. We'll talk about them in a second. Great,
but I'm torn between wanting to take that victory lap and also being like...
You're also a LeBron stan.
It's fun to make fun of LeBron James.
Right.
All I'll say is it might be karma for giving Lola Bunny a small ass.
Yeah.
The basketball gods caught up with him.
I'm torn. I do think, I'll say one nice thing about the Lakers. I do think that if Anthony Davis stays healthy in this series is totally different. They were up 2-1, tie ball game 4, and he gets hurt. So, and he's their best player. That's not a knock on LeBron. Anthony Davis is...
It kind of is.
No,
but it's still
at
true.
At this point in their career, LeBron James, at his peak, was far, far better of a player than Anthony Davis will ever be. But as of right now, Anthony Davis, like, if you want either one of them, if you, either one of them is 100%, you want it to be Anthony Davis. I feel torn. Hank, do you not feel torn?
No.
You're just happy?
Yeah, I mean, there is an element of it's like fun rooting against him, but it's one of those things as the series, you know, progress and it goes Eastern Conference or Western Conference Finals and championship, it's like there's only so many games you can root against him for, and once he wins, it's the worst thing ever. So I'm happy. True. I'm happy with him losing.
So game five, he quit on his team. I mean, I don't know how you could see it otherwise. He left the game with 5 minutes and 40 feet. He left the bench. Tonight, I'll give him credit. They fought. There was like many times in this third and fourth quarter where we were like, oh, shit. He might be – they cut it to like 11. They cut it to 10. Oh, no, they're going to be getting close here. LeBron's going to do his thing. Credit's Chris Paul, by the way. Chris Paul, that's why Chris Paul is so important to like the Suns. He just – His ability to just like control tempo and be like, hey, everyone chill out. I'm gonna dribble around. Someone sent me a pick. I'll fucking nail a 12 footer. Like, we'll be good. He did that a few times tonight where it was crucial because it felt like the Lakers could creep back in it. And the Suns are fun.
Well,
Devin Booker was incredible.
It always felt like if the game got to single digits, then the Lakers were gonna win it. That was the one barrier they had to break, and they never got to that point. Because once you get to single digits, especially when being down by so much, then Staples Center starts to get loud as hell.
Yeah.
And then LeBron James is just like, I'm going to take it to the basket every time. He was going to get all the calls if it got close.
Except for that one that he didn't, and he almost murdered the ref. Yeah. Like, he basically didn't come back on defense for two possessions straight just to yell at the ref.
Yeah, which, I mean, this is the stuff that I'm going to miss. I'm going to miss talking about that in the playoffs. And the fact, you're right, Anthony Davis is their best player, and it is kind of a knock on LeBron, only because we choose to say that Anthony Davis is their best player a lot because it's fun to remind everybody that LeBron James isn't their best player.
Yeah.
But yeah, Anthony Davis being out, that's the difference. I think they probably would have won the series if he was still in.
Yeah, so the Suns. I didn't realize this. Devin Booker scored 47 tonight. Devin Booker was 15 for 22. It's the perfect combo of Devin Booker was the Suns tonight, and then you have Chris Paul, the closer, who can basically say, hey, I got this. Don't worry, guys. Like, let's not panic. And Jay Crowder was hitting every single shot, which was awesome. It was fun. It's fun. The Suns are fun. We're still a Nuggets podcast.
Yeah, definitely.
But are they playing against each other?
We love the Nuggets. A house divided. I don't know who to root for.
I think we got to be a Suns podcast.
You know what I like about the Suns? I like their fans. I like Suns fans a lot. They're like a more mellow version of Lakers fans.
Right.
They're like, like the Laker bros, if instead of like doing Jaeger bombs and smoking mids, they were just on peyote. They seem like relaxed.
They day party.
They know how to have a good time.
Yeah, they day party. Remember that time we went to ASU and they watched Notre Dame versus... It was pretty much the biggest game ASU played in football-wise in like the last 10 years. And we just went and watched the game and it was a full-on club at noon.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't hear the game. It was just the loudest music ever. And then every time they scored, there was a cannon that went off confetti. That's what Suns fans, and I like it.
Suns
fans,
they
party guys.
They seem like they're always like kind of sunburned, too.
Oh,
like a little bit too red,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't stop them from going to the games. I think they actually lead the league in fans in the stands wearing no undershirts beneath their jerseys.
Yes, but that plays in Phoenix because it's a hot, you know, it's not the humidity, it's the heat.
Mm-hmm. It's dry heat.
No, it's the heat. It's the humidity, not the heat.
It's a dry heat. You know what they say about the weather there?
Oh, time check. It's 1:22 in the morning.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. What do they say?
If you don't like it, just wait 5 minutes.
Always gets me. Should we? So the Suns are playing the Nuggets? Should we? I think we need to put it up to a vote. I think we need to make the AWLs vote.
Suns Nuggets.
Like, I think we need to put out a poll. You know what we should do? We should put out a poll at noon tomorrow and set it to end at tip of the first game, and that's who we're rooting for.
I think the poll be like multiple days?
Yeah, I think it'd be like 7 days if we want it to be. Suns Nuggets, which team are we rooting for officially as a podcast? We're a Nets podcast. We're a Blake Griffin podcast. first and foremost.
I would like to root for the Suns.
Same.
If that can influence
but
people, I would
Chris
like
Paul.
Bonk.
Yeah.
You guys just got mad at me for saying that Chris Paul. Oh, because he wants to get his dick sucked.
I do not want to get my dick. Well, I don't. I want to root for the Suns. Is what I'm saying. That's what I was trying to
say. How long do you want the poll to be? I can set it right now.
Well, no, don't tweet it right now.
No, I'm going to schedule it.
Yeah, so when's game one? You guys got mad at me when I said Chris Paul was awesome the other week. And now we're a Suns podcast?
I've always liked the Suns for the last 2 weeks.
Right, but what are we going to do? You guys realize what you're doing right now. I said Chris Paul's awesome, and you both were like, how could you say that?
As a LeBron stan, I feel like
I don't remember that.
The LeBron stand-em has to transfer to Chris Paul because he's a little bro. And LeBron James is going to be like, right. This is a little bro's championship.
I got it.
Even though I think they're the exact same age.
I got it. The best way for Blake to get a ring would be to beat Chris Paul in the finals.
Yes.
There it is.
Yes, I like that.
That would be incredible. So that's what we're rooting for.
Do you think that LeBron James is going to play in the Olympics this summer? He really doesn't have an excuse now, right? So I looked it up. He's played in 264 postseason games. And this is like rule number one stuff about being a LeBron stan, is you have to factor in his postseason career. So he's played an extra three seasons.
Yeah.
So he's really almost 40 years old.
Right.
It's incredible.
Right. I'm going to throw out a stat that I like that I just came up with off the top of my head that people could throw out there if they want to tweet it at all. LeBron James in his career has defended his title once. Michael Jordan did it four times. So four times a team went into the season as the defending champions and then still won the championship. LeBron has done it once. Mm-hmm. Hardest thing to do in sports is repeat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. Just throwing it out there.
Does this cheapen the bubbled ring?
I think we can all agree that just didn't happen.
It doesn't. Yeah, the bubbled never. That's not basketball.
Yeah.
No fans around.
I still. What were you going to say, Jake?
Game one is Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, so schedule it for noon tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it ends at 9:59
Monday
Eastern.
Night.
Yes. And that will be our decision.
Please vote for the Suns.
But also vote for the Nuggets.
Yeah. You know, it's fair.
It just has to be fair. Just vote. I want to actually genuinely see like who people want us to root for and also if we have a bigger fan base in one or the other.
I would think that we probably have a bigger fan base in Arizona than we do in Colorado.
What about Denver?
Well, Denver, yeah, that's a good point.
Dude,
but
a lot of dudes
but
in
also, there's, if you live in Denver, your podcast consumption rate, especially during the summertime, probably not as high as when you're down in the dry heat.
Yeah, but think about this. If you're in Arizona, your iPhone's probably overheating all the time in the sun.
J.J. Watt, big Suns fan.
Yeah, J.J. Watt, AWL.
Mm-hmm.
So, interesting.
J.J., you could probably influence this poll a little bit.
You could absolutely influence this if you tweet it.
But that does sound like a great reason to watch the NBA Finals because it's going to be probably Nets versus a team that is not going to have a big draw in terms of the market. It'd be awesome to see him
Jazz.
Try to get his revenge against Chris Paul.
Yeah. By the way, we did some major time traveling. You're going to hear everything. So we have a double intro with Coach K coming up, and then we also like broke our own brains trying to figure out how this was all going to come together, which we left in. But we forgot to mention Dame Lillard's 55 on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Tuesday night? Wednesday night.
I think he had
Tuesday night.
Didn't he like set the record for threes made?
It was incredible
in a playoff
season? And he lost, and then they lost tonight. They totally blew it. The Nuggets fucking were resilient, came back. So yeah, shout out Dame Lillard. Wanted to throw that out.
That's kind of going to be the story of Dame Lillard's career.
I know. Until he comes to the Mecca.
Yeah,
that's what people are saying.
So the Lakers this offseason, are they going to try to add another piece? I was looking at free agents.
What they should do?
What?
They should fire LeBron James, the GM.
Okay.
Because this roster was flawed.
Bring back.
And that's his Anthony team. Davis to build around.
Bring back Rob Lowe.
Yeah, he's not a free agent. Just want to throw that out there again.
Which ball is going to be a free agent this offseason?
LaMelo.
No shot.
No. I mean Lonzo.
Lonzo.
I meant Lonzo. It's Lonzo. 128.
Bring back Lonzo.
I want Lonzo on the Bulls.
Bring back Lonzo.
You want him up back on the Lakers?
It'd be fun.
LeBron is going to be you know what the worst part is 1:28 in the morning. I'm going to have to stay up till his press conference.
Yeah, or at least
I'm going to have to watch. He's going to get so much treatment, he might outlast me, but I want to watch his press conference.
At least the IG post that's going to come out. So do you think he's got one scheduled?
Yeah, so we were debating this. If Chris Paul wins a title, how much of LeBron will make, how much will he make it about himself?
There will definitely be a few pictures of like their backs with their arms around each other.
Like, between us, we got five.
Okay, let's see. He has not posted yet. Let me check the stories. Oh, man. Bad night to be a bottle of wine in Los Angeles.
Sheesh. I know exactly what he's going to say. It's like, we played so much basketball, we left it all out there, even though I quit on my team on game five and didn't come back on the court. Like argued with refs and didn't come back on defense like multiple times in game six, but we left it all out there.
And you know what? To everyone that's saying right now LeBron lives rent-free in our heads, you're absolutely right.
Absolutely. He's the best. He is one of my favorite topics to talk about in all of sports.
He is my favorite tenant.
Yes. I love it. It's not like a diss when you're like, hey, dude, you're obsessed with LeBron. No shit.
No, LeBron's on rent control. I'm never going to charge LeBron for living in my head.
Yes, I love it. He is my favorite tenant by far. Yeah. He's fucking, no bed bugs. He goes to sleep at 11 o'clock, doesn't play loud music. It's the best.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best. Although, actually, going to the Lakers, he does stay up late, and it does bother me.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. We're not... probably not going to stay up until 1:30 anymore this postseason.
And if we do, we will let you know.
Absolutely.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, we will absolutely
let
you know.
That's just not true.
What? Oh, well, if we're a Suns podcast.
That's true. But also Denver, right?
And also Denver.
Wait,
we're Nets podcast. We're Blake Griffin podcast. Forget that.
Is it the fucked up time of year where Arizona is on Denver time?
Who
or
knows?
Is Arizona on Los Angeles time?
Someone give us some facts on Denver.
Or is all Arizona right. on like 1923 time?
All right. I'm going to do an ad right now. And when the ad is done, you will hear the other intro to this show. Because Coach K had to start a show. And so we talk Coach K. We talk Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, Firefest. Great interview with Chris Bosh. I'm going to say it right now, one of the best shows we've had in a very long time because there was so much good stuff to talk about.
Should we release two podcasts tomorrow? One, the LeBron James podcast, and then the other
part
just
one
the
and part two.
Yeah.
You know, increase the downloads, no big deal. Mm-hmm. All right, so.
Hey, it's PFT here talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Here's the rest of the show.
It's Pardon My Take presented by Bar. Sports.
Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. Today is Friday, June 4th. And Coach K is retiring. But not before he does an entire retirement tour and he makes everyone give him gifts and everyone say how he's the greatest of all time, because it's not about the kids, it's about Coach K.
Coach K is going to make the KISS retirement tours look like child's play. It is going to be the wettest of sucks. You're going to have, when Coach K shows up at your gym this year, you're going to have to suck him so hard.
Yes.
You are going to have to suck the black off his hair.
Oh, hell yeah. PFT, I just want to say something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people were saying that maybe it was because...
Recruiting.
Maybe it was because...
They got a new athletic director.
New athletic director. Maybe because the likeness, the players are actually going to get paid. So
paying them
under the table isn't going to have the same effect. No. Coach K made it clear in his press conference that he's doing it because of family.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing it because of family, not due to changes in the sport. So let's just all respect Coach K. And he's finally going to spend some time with his family at the young age of 74.
Yeah, so what better time? He doesn't want to miss any of his kids' soccer games.
Yeah, he doesn't want to miss his kids' high school graduation. His kids are 52.
You can't get that stuff back, you know? You got to celebrate it while it's around.
His grandkids have their driver's license.
Yeah. It's very funny because it's like he also tossed into the press conference that he does keep getting older, but the kids stay the same age.
Yep.
Like Wooderson from Dazed and Confused. And it, like, but not that it has that anything to do with it whatsoever. Also, imagine being a 17-year-old right now and going to Duke And this is Coach K's last year. Like, if you don't win him a title, you're a fucking asshole.
You're never getting where the lady who wrote that. Remember the lady who wrote the op-ed about Elton Brand being like, you're never welcome back in the Duke family. He's like, good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like that proved my point that I should go to the NBA and make money.
I can't wait to see what the presents are going to be for Coach K.
Like,
what is UNC going to get him? And I was talking to Hank about this earlier because he was like, I think I've always been like pro retirement tour. And I was like, what about Derek Jeter? He's like, no, fuck that.
Yeah.
And then we talked about David Ortiz for a while, and Hank conveniently forgot that David Ortiz had a season-long retirement tour. So I think Hank is pro. Are you pro-retirement tour?
Wait, Hank, hold on. Before we get your thoughts.
I hope they play this before every single press conference this year.
Well, they play before every single game if you guys knew anything about, you know, great teams.
I want to note one thing, Hank, before you do it. I tweeted a clip of Coach K walking in and clapping, and I used the part where he, like, pumped his fist, and I said, the face when you...
It was presidential what he was
you
doing.
You survive a 40-year NCAA career, and no one finds your bagman. People did say, Big Cat, we know who Jeff Capel is, so point taken. I'm sorry, you're right, we know who their bagman is.
Jeff Capel coached at Duke? No, I didn't think so.
Wait, he was the assistant coach for, like, ever.
He's not there now. People are just trying to... That's classic, just blame the guy who just left.
Wait. Does this mean that Coach K is a one and done this year?
Yep.
You either die a hero, live long enough to become a villain.
All right, so, Hank, we would like to hear your thoughts. You are a diehard Duke fan. You went there.
Second gen alum.
I want to hear your favorite Coach K memories and also what you think about his retirement.
I just have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are a quote-unquote sports podcast. You know, you're all...
Wait,
all you do
you're
is,
part of it, too.
All you do is joke around and make jokes. Everything's a big joke. Ha, ha, ha. We stay here all the time late for sports.
Correct.
This is the greatest coach in the sport, and all
besides
you guys do is make jokes
Williams.
And mock him. It's like, what's the point of doing your job?
How do you
explain your existence if all you're going to do is joke?
He's the second best coach
in the
state.
Have some respect.
It's also very funny. It's
most wins of all time. 12 Final Fours, 15 ACC tournament titles, 97 NCAA tournament wins, 126 weeks ranked number one. No, that's all off the top of my head.
Hank's reading. That's incredible.
Have some respect.
Okay, so...
And I get it, ha ha ha, but it's like, you guys are just...
Three gold medals.
So he saw Roy Williams retire, and it was major, like, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams vibe. It's like, we're going to die on the same day, essentially. But Coach Williams did it the right way. He said, you know what? I'm not going to stick around. I'm not going to make my final season all about me. And Coach K was like, you know what? I'm going to stick around. And it's honestly a tough look for Duke. You should never have a new head coach whose last name rhymes with fire. Mm. It makes it too easy for the chance to come out the second he starts screwing it up. Are you happy with the replacement?
Yes,
well,
you have to be because
John Shire knows exactly who to pay and how to get paid and all these things. You have to have the... You can't bring in, like, some hired gun and he's like, you know, they say, hey, you got to go do this private dinner with some of these boosters. He's like, no, I might do that. Boom, now your five-star recruit doesn't show up to campus.
Maybe Grant Hill.
Yeah. Exactly. Can I do my favorite Coach K memories?
Can I say one other thing?
Okay. All right. You do that, and then I'll say
everyone's shitting on farewell tours. It's just because those people are mediocre. They're not that good at their job. When they retire from their job, no one's going to care. So it's like, if you're the greatest of all time, you're the best at what you do, you deserve to have that, you know, that light shine on you.
Victory lap?
You deserve to have that victory lap. Like, if you guys...
You should win.
You guys are at
the
top of your profession for now. If you stay at the top of your profession for the next 35 years and then retired, you should deserve to have a few shows where people are celebrating you. Mm. It takes a long time to get to where he's got. Mm-hmm. And if you're that good, you deserve to get, you know, respected for it.
Okay. So,
and all you guys are going to do is joke, joke,
no,
joke.
No, I'm not going to joke. I'm going to talk about his legacy.
Joke.
I think Coach K is...
He said something to the other players.
Coach K is the best, probably the best college basketball coach of all time. I'll give you that.
Yep.
Okay?
And
there
Olympic.
You go. That's nice. I said that. It is fact. He won 5 NCAA titles. I know everyone would be like, oh, you're salty about 2015. You're fucking right I am. Of course I am. I'll never get that back. A small part of me died in Lucas Oil Stadium that night, and it will never return. So, yes, there is saltiness. But I also just don't like Coach K because I think he plays by his own rules and shifts the rules
Winning.
And changes everything.
Winning.
And when the things are going well, it's Coach K's the GOAT. And when things are going bad, Coach K's got
My favorite,
hurt. You know what my favorite
hurt,
Coach K memory is?
He's teaching the kids. That, it's about the kids.
That one video where he's just staring straight ahead, screaming at the air like to nobody, just cussing his players out, mm-hmm. not even looking them in the eye. That's my favorite Coach K memory.
All right, so can I do some memories?
Sure.
Okay, I'll just read a few things. I talked about.
You can read?
Yeah, I talked about his consistency. So everyone knows, 1995, during an atypically lackluster season, Coach K takes a leave of absence, citing back pain and exhaustion. Longtime assistant Pete Godette takes over in Coach K's stead, guiding the Blue Devils to a 2-14 ACC record. Contrary to the practice at other schools, these wins and losses stay on Godette's permanent record, not Coach K's. And I actually will defend Coach K in this part.
Because he's an administrator.
He probably doesn't even know the AD, so he probably couldn't even get that on his law, you know.
Well, he definitely didn't have anything to do with the fact that those don't go on his record.
Credit to Coach K as well. 2007, he said, I think I should have been credited with all those losses. Now, he didn't actually take all those
losses.
Shout
out to Tom Butters.
He didn't say it. He didn't actually change, but he took credit, and he said, I think I should be credited with those losses, but don't actually put those losses on my record.
That's like the exact same thing as being like, I would have donated that money to charity had I won.
Right, exactly, exactly. And you might say, oh, okay, that's one time, Big Cat. That's crazy. Well, you're right, but you're also wrong, because remember, in 2019, he lost to Stephen F. Austin, and Coach K, after the game, made a surprising admission saying that he was suffering from some type of health problem on Tuesday that may have negatively impacted the team, although he didn't go into any detail on the nature of the problem.
That's what you call accountability when you're a coach. You don't want to put the blame on all these young college kids. You want to put it on yourself.
That's a good point. Do you think that all the journalists at Duke were clapping for him when he came in the room because he was just afraid he was going to chew him out if they said something bad to him in the post-game interview?
Oh, PFT, I'm so happy you brought that up because everyone saw that happen this year.
Yeah.
And you say, well, guess what? He's getting old. It's not a big deal. Like, he's, you know, senile. He's angry. It's like your old grandfather yelling at people. Well, except for the fact that he also did that in 1990 after Duke's student newspaper gives the Duke Blue Devils a B+ at the halfway point of the season. Coach K invites the paper's sports staff in for a get together with the team and his assistant coaches. And he said, I'm not looking for puff pieces or anything like that, but you're whacked out and you don't appreciate what the fuck is going on. And it pisses me off. Coach K later apologized, but only for using profanity, not for belittling and scaring a bunch of student journalists.
If I remember correctly, though, that team went to the Final Four, and then they won two back-to-back national championships. Mm-hmm.
But it worked. A B+ is not a bad grade.
Yeah, but when you're the coach, you want all A's. That's just greatness. That's what I'm saying. Just mediocrity. That's all you know. You guys don't care. It's just all a big joke to you. You see a B+, you're like, oh, it's great, I got a B+. Coach K sees a B+, he's like, I want an A.
I actually think it's a smart move on Coach K's part to do this right now because, like, there's no chance whatsoever that he's getting left out of the tournament next year, no matter what. If they're anywhere close to a bubble, if they're bubble adjacent, you were putting Duke Blue Devils in that fucking tournament.
After leaving Duke, former star Corey Maggette admits to accepting thousands of dollars from summer league coach Myron Piggy. Though such payments would presumably have made Maggette ineligible, the NCAA declines to strip Duke of its Final Four appearances. The Blue Devils, in fact, aren't punished at all.
So are we going to start roasting every college program that's giving people money?
No, I actually have no problem. I think you should pay the players.
How much time do we have?
You should pay the players, but you should also pretend that you don't pay the players and then be like, an investigation by New Orleans.
I'm sure Wisconsin did that too for fucking Frank Kaminsky.
You think we paid Frank Kaminsky?
Yes, and Sam Decker.
No one recruited him.
That doesn't matter.
An investigation by the New Orleans Times-Picayune reveals that point guard Chris Duhon's
mother
landed a job working for a Duke booster. Co-workers say the job opening was never posted and that Harper was overpaid and lacked qualifications. Again, Duke gets absolutely no heat from the NCAA. I'm just surprised.
Well, you know what? All this can be uncovered, Big Cat, with a simple Freedom of Information Act search.
Oh, PFT, you can't do a FOIA on Duke.
Why?
Private university.
Interesting.
Mm. How about when Coach K teaches the kids after games, like that time Dylan Brooks, he stopped him in the handshake line and told him, you're too good of a player to be showing off at the end. That was a loss, though. So that was a loss when he did that.
But he was teaching him a life lesson.
Yes.
Which he'll remember more than beating Duke.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but in that one, it's not like, you know, Coach K said something after the fact, and then the cameras who got the moment actually figured out he was saying something else.
Hmm?
Exactly.
I'm trying to follow. I'm really trying to be on your side.
No, I'm obviously Coach K guy, but if I remember that story correctly, Coach K was like, oh, I just gave him a few nice words after the game.
Yes, that was the Dylan Brooks.
Were like, actually, you were like chewing him out.
Yes.
But I'm not going to say that.
Right.
I like how Coach K pulled the, you know, our conversation is going to stay between us. Like a lot of people do after a game when they're like, hey, what did you say to your father when he greeted you on the sidelines after your last game? He's like, I'm going to keep that between us. But in this situation, he was just dog cussing. He was just like, fuck you.
My favorite Coach K was when he said, don't criticize the players, criticize me. And then in that same interview said, when you question my coaching, come into Cameron and look up at the ceiling and see if you should do that.
Mm.
Yeah. Kiss the rings.
It's like a three-card Monty trick. Listen, I'm actually very upset that Coach K is retiring because he is fodder. I love hating him. I've said this before. I'm sure Duke fans will be upset at everything I've said so far, but sports are fun when you hate something. The like hating Duke and hating Coach K is a pastime for the majority of America. And Duke fans, defending Coach K and defending Duke is a pastime for you. And you love doing it, and it makes everything more fun because guess what? You won 5 national titles, so you can shove that in everyone's face.
Do you think that
I'm going to miss him?
Do you think that Duke would be as prestigious a university as it? They love to pull the Harvard or the South thing if they weren't good at basketball. If
it wasn't Bruins just won. There you go, Hank. There you go, Hank.
Everything's coming up, Hank.
Huge. That just happened live.
I just think that you hating on the greatest of all time.
We would be thinking about Duke as being like an elite institution for academics if they weren't also good at basketball.
Probably not.
I actually think that whatever Coach K did, if as long as he hasn't murdered anybody, which is still unconfirmed, I think that anything that he's done has been worth it for the college.
Yes. Yeah, you're probably right. You're absolutely right. And guess what? He is the best coach of all time. I'm not saying that he's not. I'd be an idiot if I was like, he's a terrible coach. I think he's the best coach of all time. There, said it again. I just think that people don't criticize him ever. And he does these hijinks all the time. Remember when he said that Zion was too athletic to be officiated correctly?
Yeah.
That was my favorite.
He's probably correct.
Do you think
he's too fast? They don't know how to officiate him.
You think that Calipari got a call?
What do you mean?
You think somebody made a courtesy call to him and be like, "Hey, I know that like you, Coach Cal has a clock anywhere that he goes."
Yeah.
Before what he does catches up with him. And again, we're not judging Cal. We love the Calipari family, but I feel like it would be a respect thing to give him a call just to see if he's interested in going to Duke. It's like, you know all that stuff that you've gotten caught for in the past? You will get away with 100% of the stuff that you do and more if you come to Duke.
That, bringing up Cal is perfect because that's actually probably like the if you had to really boil it down, I really have no problem with Coach K cheating and changing the rules because that's every college coach in America. It's the fact that no one actually says he does those things and is like, he did it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Cal, everyone calls him kind of shady, right?
Yep.
And I kind of like that because he kind of owns it.
Yeah.
He kind of owns it. He's like, yeah, I care about NBA draft picks. Patino, we know that. Like, there are coaches out there that play on the fringes and everyone kind of figures it out. And everyone's Roy Williams, the whole like class thing, you know, where kids weren't going to class. And people mention that with his legacy. I just don't know why we never say anything about Coach K.
I think that
that's all I'm asking.
I think Cal would be a perfect fit at Duke.
Yeah.
But you're right. They got to keep it in-house.
No, John Shire will do great. I actually think he will do great. And and it is kind of like a weird bookend that Coach K started his career at 33 at Duke. John Shire's 33. He's learned from Coach K. He is a Coach K guy. Like, he's a floor slapper. He won a title. They're going to probably still be awesome. And guess what? I'm actually rooting for them to be awesome. That will be the plot twist, because if you can't hate Duke, what's the point?
Well, no, it'd be great if he wins, let's just say that Shire wins like 2 titles in his first 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We can get the conversation started.
I would love that conversation.
Was Coach K, was he a system coach?
Yeah.
Is it just the churn of Duke University?
Yeah.
It's the D.
Yeah, it is the D. The D is bigger than Coach K.
Yeah.
You think LeBron and Dwayne Wade and them show up for his last game at Cameron?
Because
LeBron technically went to Duke?
Yeah, and Dwayne Wade?
Gold medals?
Didn't go to Duke?
Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah.
You know, he coached them?
There will be a lot. Tony Romo will be there. You should be there, Hank.
I really should be there. I've never been to a game there, even at all the time I've spent there. I never got to one.
You should go to a press conference and do the class.
We should go there, though. We should go to a game this year. We should be with the Cameron Crazies. And if we're lucky enough, Coach K will yell at us like the time that he yelled at all the Cameron Crazies and basically said they were fair weather fans and weren't supporting Duke.
He also made the Cameron crazy.
Yeah, but imagine if Coach K was at these NBA games. If Coach K was at these NBA games, no one would be fucking spitting in the crowd. No one would be throwing water bottles. He keeps the crowd in check.
He abuses the crowd there, Hank.
No, he keeps them in check. Look what's happening.
He makes you camp out for tickets,
Hank. Look what's happening when you don't have a coach that cares. People are just throwing popcorn at players and spitting on them.
The beginning of the end. Duke, Kentucky, November 9th.
Ooh.
Five blocks down the street.
Ooh.
Champions Classic. We'll be
there. One of the funniest text messages we got this week was... our booker Peggy, who does an unbelievable job, just texts us names that we would say yes or no to, and she just texted us Mike Krzyzewski, and we're like, yeah, I don't think he would do it, but yeah, I would love to have him on.
It's also funny, Coach K refuses to schedule games against Maryland.
Yeah.
Because he hates him so much because of the time that they
left the ACC.
They briefly stole his shine back in the early 2000s.
Yes.
And he was like, this school
Coach
does not respect
out of the ACC.
Duke. He does not respect Duke because they beat us.
Yeah. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss him a lot. And I'm really sad that, a bunch of college players getting paid is why he had to retire.
It was very noble, though, that he decided to change his mind. He had very hard and fast rules about whether or not players should go to the NBA, whether they should take a year off from college, skip their last season or two, until it was like Luol Deng. And Luol Deng was like an extreme case. Like, he needed to go to the NBA to provide a better life for probably like two dozen people back home for him. And Coach K, like, reluctantly. That's what it took to, like, push him over the line. He's like, God damn it, they forced his hand.
Yeah.
And then, to his credit, he was forced to adapt and change.
He did change,
When he got to the end of his career, and he was like, I got to figure out a way to keep winning. Well, in order to do that, I got to pay these guys. In order to do that, I got to do the one-and-done stuff.
Yeah.
So he did change. He evolved a little bit. But the name and likeness, it's not a coincidence that he's retiring right now.
Duke fans were so fucking awful to Elton Brand when he went to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that happened. And it was disgusting.
Oh, his passion.
Coach K hated him.
Hated him. Not welcome the Duke family.
Brotherhood?
The Brotherhood.
Yeah. Also, shout out to our friend Tate Frazier.
Yeah,
he called this.
He
predicted the shit out of this.
He not only called it, but he said he's going to announce his retirement, do a full retirement tour, called it exactly how it went, and here we are. And I'm excited to bid Coach K an adieu.
I just think you hating on someone that's unequivocally the best of all time just because of something they did to your team is lame.
That's called being
a fan.
I hated
him before that too.
That's 100%
respect,
called being
respect
a fan.
Greatness. Big
college
bad.
Basketball.
Someone's the greatest of all time. You should respect them.
I totally disagree. College basketball is a binary system. Either you hate Duke or you love Duke. There is no in the middle. No one says I'm kind of ambivalent about Duke. It's just two categories, and that's what makes it great. There's no other team. I'll give you another compliment, Hank. There's no other team that elicits this type of emotion out of college basketball fans. There's no other guy that gets people this riled up. So, yeah, I'll give Coach K credit for that as well.
Here's a question. On his last game this season, like his last home game at Cameron, he's definitely going to bring back the alumni.
He might have sex with the court, is named Coach K.
Coach K.
So he'll have sex with himself.
Yeah. So do you think he's going to spend more time with his former players or with his current players that week?
Mm.
Because I don't think that his current players will be... They won't weep for him on his way out.
Yeah.
So he's going to have like, Christian Laettner.
Can we get Grayson Allen 1 year of eligibility back just to have him coach him one more time?
Mm-hmm.
That would actually be great if, like, we had one NCAA rule where Coach K could just trot out his best, most annoying players.
I also think that Coach K is going to show up around the program years after he's not there.
Yeah.
So he's going to be just like, he might try to become athletic director.
Yes.
People do that all the time. You guys are whatever.
Yeah, Barry Alvarez did that.
He said nice things.
I say, he would come up and coach every time they went to the Rose Bowl.
But all the things, it's like, all elite programs pay players. When coaches retire, they hang around the program.
With elite programs paying players. I'm not cool with anyone being like, Duke doesn't pay their players.
But that's not a Coach K. That's not.
But people think that. And the media will say Coach K did it the right way.
He did.
Okay. One last thought from our friend Dick Vitale, which, if you forgot, he is in Hawaii, which he reminded us with this tweet. Just learned on vacation in Maui, where we are 6 hours earlier versus Eastern Standard Time, that Coach K is stepping down as coach. I am not shocked, as we saw Roy Williams leave and now Coach K. The instability and whackness in college hoops doesn't make for a fun time.
Mm.
Because that's what it's about.
The coach is having fun.
Having fun. Yeah. Making millions of dollars and having fun.
The coach is.
When you lose, the coach is having fun.
Uh-huh.
Man, the sport sucks.
I'm very interested to see what happens after he leaves the program, though. Because I do think...
I think Sean Shire is going to be great. I swear to God.
The Coach K hanging around is going to be something. Shire, I mean, why do you think that he's going to be great? Because like, right now, it's just like... He seems like he fits the part.
Yeah, because he's been with Coach K. I think Coach K has had enough guys underneath him that like could have been the heir apparent. And John Shire, maybe it's just timing because you know other guys have gone to head coaching jobs. But I think something about Coach K picking him, he was you know what's weird about John Shire? He was like should have been a very hateable Duke guy, but he wasn't that hateable.
Well, because it was really easy to dunk on him,
right? So, he won a national title.
I don't think he was. He wasn't like great enough to be that hateable.
But I think he will, with the right boosters and connections and bag men, I think he will be very successful at Duke.
Hmm.
So, and I think just having a guy who won a national title for Coach K be the guy who's now coaching, I think it's a fairly easy transition.
We got to figure out what the team should get for Coach K as his presence.
Yeah.
I say just as many live animals as possible.
Yeah.
Just give him, bees. Give him bees.
You should give him some Dogecoin.
Give him, no, I will not pay Coach K. That Doge stays with me until July when it becomes a year old. Then I can sell it for less capital gains taxes.
So Hank, that's it. We're done picking on you. The next story, wait, I'm reading it here. Brad Stevens. He's
got
done coaching?
No, he got promoted.
Brad Stevens
really is the Henry Lockwood episode of Pardon My Take.
It's tough.
What were you going through that entire day? Was it Wednesday? No,
yesterday.
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
What? That must have been a roller coaster.
Coach K one was insane.
And then Brad Stevens.
No, it was Brad Stevens first.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, it was like, and Coach K is retiring.
Do you think that Kyrie broke the Celtics like Tom Wilson broke the Rangers?
And PFT, that's the thing, where PFT, in my head, I was like, it's going to be John Shire. PFT was like, he was asking, did they give Coach Kyle a call? Like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, it's going to be John Shire. And he got my head spinning. I was spinning because of Jason Kidd, like, all day yesterday.
Kidd is a Celtics coach.
There was a moment where I was just like, I don't know who's going to be coaching any of these teams, and all the prospective people sound terrible.
Jason Kidd, you might as well just give away 2 years of your life if Jason Kidd becomes head coach. Like, your time would be better
recurring
spent.
Recurring guest, by the way.
It would, yes, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
You would have a more useful 2 years of your life if you learned how to speak Latin than you would if you watched Celtics games for 2 years with Jason Kidd. Go learn the harp for 2 years, because that's going to be a more productive time. It's such a punt. It's basically saying we're going to just tread water until the Nets are done ruining basketball, and then we'll try to win after the fact.
Oh, man.
I think it's a good move, though.
You know what? I actually agree.
They clearly needed to take another step. They needed to take the next step to get, you know, to the championship level.
No, they got a re-step. They step back.
If there's anyone that knows exactly what the Celtics roster needs to be and beat these mm-hmm. teams that are on the next level, it is Brad Stevens. Obviously, Danny Ainge said it. He was like, there's been moves that me and Brad didn't agree on. And now Brad has full control to do whatever he wants. So it's it is a risk. You don't know if he's going to be good at the job, but you have to think if there's anyone that knows the team and like knows what they need to get to the next level, it probably is Brad Stevens. He's a smart guy. Danny Ainge is a smart guy. He cares about the Celtics. He's not just going to like fuck them over and leave. So I think it's going to be, I mean, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I think everyone thought Danny Ainge was gone. Like, it felt like it was the end for him. It is weird that I think sports fans, because we have such short memories, like some people, and I don't think it's a lot of people, I think most of the media is saying Danny Ainge was really good at his job, but I think some people like forgot that he built the championship team, like the Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen
thing. He invented super teams.
Right, like they forget that was, because they just think of like Trader Danny and all that. And then Brad Stevens, the shocking part to me is if you had asked me on Tuesday, how many years has Brad Stevens been the coach of the Boston Celtics? I would have said 4. Yeah, and it's been 7. 7. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Like it is. It's a long time, and especially if you don't get that like over that next hump, it's probably hard.
I'm going to miss Danny Ainge like leaking to the press right after a big trade happens or big free agent signing happens about how close the Celtics were to getting that guy.
Yeah.
He was really, really good at that. He's like, we were a second choice right there to the very end.
Brad Stevens, it is, the weird part is like that he just really didn't want to coach Indiana. That part is weird to me. I don't know.
I don't, but that's where it's like, I think that this job is a better job.
Agreed. Life-wise? All things considered. I would so much rather be a front office than a coach.
Especially if it's like a stress thing and it's like he's probably, like it's probably easier to live, like be less stressed if you're the GM versus the coach.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you're the coach for Indiana, that's just going to be more stress plus recruiting.
Yeah, I agree with you there that like the there's certain jobs in college where it's kind of like what Michigan is right now. Like, you go in, and the expectation is you have to win a national title, and if you don't, you failed. And it's like, but that's very hard to do.
What do you think happens if that half-court shot in the national championship game, Butler versus Duke, goes in? The butterfly effect from that point on.
Coach K retires.
Coach K retires. Brad Stevens goes to Duke.
Wisconsin wins the championship. Yes!
And then the Celtics signed Jason Kidd 6 years earlier.
And Gordon Hayward... Yeah, who knows?
Gordon Hayward goes higher in the draft, probably.
Not to bring it back to Duke, but real quick, I had this thought this morning. Duke fans that don't like when I bash Duke, you should just remember that you have 2015, and if that game had gone differently, I would be probably a million times more insufferable about Duke because I would have that in my back pocket. Yeah. I'd be a different person. I'd be a terrible, terrible, terrible person.
Hey, seriously.
Like, I can't have success.
Kyrie Irving. You could point to him and just be like, he literally destroyed our franchise.
That onion, I don't know who wrote it. It was like a fake thing. The article that actual journalists tweeted.
Yeah.
Well, that's I saw it from a blue check mark, and I literally lost it for a second.
Yeah, some guy from Bleacher Report tweeted it.
I was on tilt for like 10 minutes. Being like, please be the onion, and then someone was like, it is. I was like, thank God.
The dude from Bleacher Report did the classic hold. I'm going to find it because it was so funny. He did the classic, he tweeted it, and when everyone was like, dude, that's fake, he's like, yeah, I know. I tweeted it because it's funny satire.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, you totally did that, dude.
You did not. It was formatted in the same way that like an ESPN.com article would be, the same font, same like gray background to it. So everyone thought it was real. But I do think that there's like some truth to it, that the way that things happened with Kyrie, like Danny Ainge just, he kind of lost it at the end there.
Yeah, so this is ESPN. So they put it on like ESPN Plus, like on the background, so it looked like it was just screenshotted. It's very funny, very well done. Ainge is scheduled to speak to the media later Wednesday, a day after Boston's disappointing season came to an end in a loss to the Brooklyn Nets in Game 5 of their first-round playoff series in Brooklyn. For Ainge, leaked sources told ESPN the last straw came Sunday night after Brooklyn Nets guard Kyrie Irving disrespected the Celtics logo. Ainge was incensed by the incident, entering the Celtics locker room in an attempt to gather players to head to the Nets locker room to confront the bastard. When Boston players largely responded with nonplussed shrugs, a league source said Ainge felt he could no longer reach players in this generation. You have to understand, Lucky is like a son to Danny, a source close to Ainge told ESPN. During his playing days, Danny would kiss Lucky on the lips for good luck, so when Kyrie stomped on him, Danny felt he needed to take action. A real journalist tweeted that and was like, I was just kidding, guys. It was satire. I don't want to say his name. I'll say his name. Tyler Conway. He from Bleacher Report. And then he was like, yeah, just kidding, dude. Just a prank. But a very well done. So what a day, Hank.
Also, we can start Firefest because both of those things are my Firefest.
We're going to do Firefest after the interview.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
After the interview. Let's talk a little more basketball. Okay. Joel Embiid is hurt. Disaster.
What's wrong with him? Is it his back?
It's his ass.
I thought it was his back.
No, it's his ass.
You've got to.
He broke his ass.
You got a rough track record diagnosing injuries.
Whoa.
Yes.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Drew Brees, his shoulder was very hurt.
He broke 50 ribs.
Yeah. And then his shoulder was also hurt.
Because there was no rib to support
exactly.
The entire rest of his muscular structure.
Yeah, no. What does he have? A tear in his meniscus?
Yeah, he's got. Well, it's a partial tear. Which is not good. It's always a bad sign when people are like trying to downplay a torn anything on an athlete. Like it's probably something that would knock him out for the next, I don't know, month or so if it wasn't the playoffs. But he's not going to be Joel Embiid. What do we keep saying about Joel Embiid? Like, if healthy, the Sixers are a team to beat in the East.
Yes.
Turns out to not healthy.
Yeah, no, you're right, though. A partial tear, it's like when someone goes in for minor surgery and
he's
like, oh,
yeah, he's cleaning up his knee real quick.
I remember when Derrick Rose first tore his ACL And a caller called into to sports radio and was like, I tore my ACL. I was playing golf 6 months later.
There you go.
He's like, well, that's a little different than dunking a basketball
Adrian Peterson,
and running up and down for 40 minutes.
Adrian Peterson really ruined it for every single athlete that's ever going to have a knee injury.
Yes.
Because now it's like, you could probably be back in with today's medicine, be back in 4 months.
Right, right. All right, so that's bad for the Sixers. That's catastrophically bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah,
it truly
is. I think that, like, obviously the Nets, I think we're going to roll them anyways. But now they're going to roll them four.
Well, they have the Hawks first.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Hawks might be...
Hawks are going to bull race them. Hawks might win in four.
Dude,
Hawks
Trae Young...
Four. Sixers are trash.
I love what Trae Young did to the Mecca.
He's about to do it to the, whatever you call it, fucking city of brotherly love.
Sounds like a little hatred for the
no.
Sixers.
Yeah.
No.
The angst is salty.
Mm-hmm. Little salty.
You don't like Philly?
You said it yourself.
What?
That the Hawks...
Trae Young is awesome.
This goes
awesome.
This goes back to Nick Foles.
No, can I not give my opinion?
No, go ahead.
They don't have Joel Embiid because he can't stay fucking healthy ever. Uh-huh. And they're going to get boat raced by the Hawks in the second round and not make the Eastern Conference Finals again. That's my opinion. That's not hate.
It will never stop being absolutely hilarious to me when the Knicks wear their jerseys at home with Michael Jordan's logo on
it.
It's like... how can you look yourself in the mirror as a franchise if the biggest enemy you've ever had is now currently on your uniforms?
But it is, and I don't want to pick on Knicks fans because they did have like a fantastic season that came out of nowhere. But
it was so cute.
The Trae Young like being crowned the king in New York is the most Knicks thing possible. Like, the best performances happen in New York against the Knicks.
Yeah, and then Spike Lee was leaving early.
Reggie Miller's like, Spike, how terrible is that?
It was perfect, actually. Like, it did make me feel like it was the mid-90s again.
Yeah, and Marv Albert, credit to him.
He hasn't sexually assaulted anybody recently.
Exactly. Jake, any
really
words on him
around?
Leaving?
Not going to comment.
Did you
He's
cry?
Like a million years
did
old.
Did you shed a tear at his last call?
Jake, you're no commenting sexual assault?
No.
No
commenting. No, I got in a lot of trouble.
You did?
Yeah.
For what?
People were unhappy with me.
About what? Marv Albert?
Yeah. That I was a fan of his broadcasting. Obviously.
Right. Separate the art from the artist.
Right.
Yeah.
Peter King, you think Darren Sharper should be in the Hall
of Fame.
I
disavow that stuff.
Okay.
It's like Woody Allen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Like his movies still
stand up.
Listen. Him as a broadcaster is what I was referring to a few weeks ago.
Hitler was decent with watercolors, okay? As a broadcaster,
I'm sorry,
Marv Albert.
As a broadcaster.
Are you a fantastic legend
yes.
of the game?
Are you going to miss him?
Yes.
I actually will.
As a broadcaster.
Big game voice.
Of course.
I'll miss his voice, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool that he got to do the next game.
Yeah, it was cool. It was like a throwback. Although I was watching the Mike Breen broadcast. Which is crazy that Knicks fans get that.
They're so spoiled.
Like, the Knicks fans get Mike Breen.
And the Nets of Iron Eagle.
Right.
Spoiled. Fan bases mm-hmm. when it comes
spoiled.
To broadcasts.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah.
What city do you think is the least spoiled?
Are you trying to...
Probably the Diamondbacks with Bob Brenly.
Yeah.
Oh, so
this is a trap to
it is.
For me to tell
I'm trying
which
to get you to talk shit about somebody.
Nope.
The Bob Brenly thing was very funny, though, when he was like, isn't that the same do-rag that Tom Seaver used to wear? And people were like, hey, that's a racially charged comment. When he said it, I understand why some people could see it that way. When he said it, I just thought it was funny picturing Tom Seaver wearing a do-rag.
Right.
I'm a simple brain. Like, that's funny. Funny is funny.
Bob Brenly's also, like, he's a baseball man. He's just been around baseball for so goddamn long that who knows? He's Bob Brenly.
There should be an alternate broadcast like they do with, a lot of the BCS games and the college football playoffs where you have the coach's room, but it's just, like, the old baseball man room.
Yeah.
That you get to watch, like, Goose Gossage and Bob Brenly just cuss players out left and right.
I mean, I'll do a Jake. I'm not going to speak for Bob Brenly what he says, but I do think he's got a good baseball voice. He obviously used to announce the Cubs. I think he's got a good baseball voice.
I mean, R. Kelly has a good voice too, Jake, but you don't see me no commenting him.
Oh man, we've got it. We're in the quicksand now. All right, Luka. Luka is one of those athletes that you watch and you just sit, at least for me, I sit there and I just am like, I want that.
I'm just like,
I want him on my team. I want to root for him. He's so fucking awesome.
I watch him and I'm like, he's 29, obviously. I saw him again last night and I'm like, that guy's old.
Yeah.
He's old, man.
Him and Dev, we're watching Devin Booker now. It's like they hit shots with ease.
Yes, I want
all the
him.
Time that it's just like, how can I acquire that?
And he does the – one of my favorite things that Luka does, besides the teardrop shot that I talked about last week, is when he gets in front of you and he does the slowdown dribble and basically makes you either foul him or get off of him and he makes a shot. It's – I don't know. It's like the pace that Luka does. He controls the pace. It mixes and matches it constantly, and I fucking love it.
He's also kind of a mystery to me because he's awesome, but at the same time, he looks like he's playing underwater.
Yeah.
He moves – maybe just because his body is like so big that it takes limbs a long time to reach their destination. Got a big ass. But it's weird because he doesn't look like he's ever going to just beat you with quickness. But before – you know what? He's like my dad would say about a guy like Nick Kane or Medley. He doesn't waste any motion.
Yeah.
He's a very efficient player.
Yeah, he's like or Paul Pierce. Here's a compliment, Hank. When Paul Pierce like was at the height of his powers, like he would always get to his spots.
Elbow.
Not fast, never but always get to his spots. Two Luka stats for you. He scored or assisted in 31 of the 37 Dallas field goals on Wednesday night. That's insane. And then the second is highest points per game of all time in the playoffs, minimum of 10 games. Michael Jordan, number one, 33.4. Luka, number two, 32.8.
Wow.
That's insane.
Have we got an update on how things stand between him and Porzingis? Do we figure out who got whose girlfriend pregnant?
I don't know. No, I don't know. But I think
Porzingis is like, he's just kind of wallpaper.
Like yeah, I mean,
he plays, but he's not. He's not
the
a
unicorn.
Yeah, he's not. He's not the unicorn.
It's like, you know, winning will cure everything.
Yeah.
So we're not going to find out about any of that stuff until they start losing.
And then our good friend Mark Titus, which we should have been on top of this, but he's done a really good job just retweeting and liking people who just keep using the same cliche. But the NBA is in good hands. That's what everyone keeps saying. He's been on all over it. His Twitter feed just lets you know how many people every single night are tweeting or saying, man, the NBA with all these young players, it's in good hands.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, okay, great.
The future is bright for the
league. The future is here, and it's now, and it's great. Anything else from those from the playoff series? What else? Jazz. Good job.
Yeah, good job, Jazz. Should we talk a little bit about – actually, yeah, that's plenty of Jazz talk.
Yeah. I was going to say about our Nuggets.
Well, we can talk about our Nuggets. Good job, Nuggets.
Our Nuggets beat our Blazers.
Yep. Are we going to talk about what happened with LeBron previously, the end of that game?
Oh, let's talk about that at the beginning of the show.
Okay, because I do have some news that I can break.
We'll do that at the beginning of the show, which you already listened to. Now everyone's confused. I like this time traveling. So if you're listening to this right now, we recorded the entire show, and then we watched the entirety of the Lakers game, which should we give instant reactions right now? Because then we could either be wrong or right. The Lakers are about to quit.
LeBron left at halftime.
It's 3 minutes into the game. They're about to quit.
LeBron left
there's
at
no
halftime to get treatment
like this.
So he can be
there's
ready
just no way.
Sooner for the start of next season.
Yes, yes. All right, a little hockey. Hank, your Bruins, they scored. We just said that out loud. I don't know. Have the Avalanche played game two? Oh, yeah, they won game two, right?
Yeah, the South will rise again. The South is just crushing the Golden Knights. The Avalanche, like, I honestly have not watched a single Avalanche game this year until the playoffs. How did they lose at all?
I don't know. They're really good.
Yeah.
I do feel like this is appropriate timing for the Avalanche because it feels like 3 years ago people were talking about wait till the Avalanche are going to be loaded. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing that, and now it's like, oh, like someone tells you about a band, and then they make it big, and you're like, oh, they're playing in, you know, the arena right next door. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to check them out.
We've had a couple slow-motion hockey replay debates. There was a bad hit last night, and I saw, once again, the takes of, like, this person should actually be arrested before they leave the ice,
yes,
and they should be prosecuted to stop this type of behavior. And granted, yeah, it was a bad hit. It was a really bad hit.
Really bad
hit. And so he's suspended for 4 games, I think, which is a lot for the playoffs.
Yep.
But then you get into the worst part. I would say that one of the top three worst parts of the internet is hockey replay analysis Twitter, where people are just like stopping frames.
Yes.
You can watch the exact same play. You'll have two people that saw the same slow motion replay, the same screenshots. One person be like, he elbowed him in the neck. And the other person be like, he didn't leave his feet and it was shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
There's never, you can't ever get any consensus on it. But I guess the general consensus on this one was like, I don't know, 90% of what I saw saying that he'll be suspended. And then 10% of people shocked that he was actually suspended.
Yes. And credit to the NHL. I think they should do this more often, but he got suspended. It was, I think, 3 games. So he'll be back for game 5 if there is a game five, which then makes game five must watch.
Yeah.
Like the NHL needs to start doing that more often where it's like, this is a terrible hit. It should probably be 10 games, but let's suspend him for enough games where he can come back and then everyone can tune in to watch him get, you know, have fights all night.
I think that the rule should be if you get suspended for a dirty hit in the playoffs, you should be forced to start the next game.
Yes.
Skate one shift. And then after that point, your suspension begins.
And the players actually said that afterwards. I think I saw someone from the Canadiens be like, listen, if the league doesn't handle it, we will. I was like, fuck yes.
That. Yeah.
Fuck
I
yes.
love it.
Yeah. One other weird woe stat for hockey. So they had the lottery on Wednesday night. The team that started with Taylor Hall, who's now on the Bruins, but started the season with Taylor Hall, has won the lottery six times since 2011.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's like Dan Gilbert's son.
Incredible.
That's incredible luck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So it was the Edmonton 2011, Edmonton 2012, Edmonton 2015, New Jersey 2017 and 2019, and then this year Buffalo 2021.
Wow. So that means, Hank, you better win the cup this year because you're going to be in the lottery next year.
If he starts with the Bruins next year. Also, I don't really like the Seattle Kraken's logo.
What?
I don't like it. It looks like the Seagram's logo.
I like it a lot.
I don't know. I thought they could have done a little bit more. It's just a cool S.
You just said it yourself. It's a cool S.
Right, but
that was my favorite thing to draw in notebooks in middle school.
Okay, if they made the Superman S, then that would have been cool.
Cool S's are...
It's not the Superman S.
If you can draw a cool S, you are the coolest person around.
You're talking about the Superman S, and I agree with you.
No,
no. Superman S is fucking cool.
I'm talking about the Stussy S.
That's a Superman S.
No, that's Stussy. That's not Superman is wide.
You're thinking the same thing.
Yeah, we're thinking the same thing.
Six lines.
Yeah, six lines.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great S.
Great S, but theirs isn't that.
I still like S's. If you can draw a cool S, no matter what it is.
S's are trains. One's got to go.
Fuck off, trains.
Wow.
Give me cool S all day.
You go double S?
I am taking a train tomorrow, though. I'm very excited about that.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis hurt his groin. I know a doctor, son's doctor, who could fix that.
Speaking of that, big cat.
Yeah. Should we save this for the start of the show?
I have an exclusive.
Should we start this for the save of the show?
I just want it fits in nicely right here. I put a picture up last night of the nice young lady from the Suns that you might remember.
Yes.
Sucked off the entire franchise.
Yes.
And she slid into my DMs and she was like, "How about you tag me next time?" And then called me babe. And I was like, here, I'll just pull it up right now. So I'm, you can't bonk me for this. Bonk her.
Yeah.
You're not going to call me horny when I'm conversing with the person that gave 12 blowjobs at once.
How did it come up?
Oh, you posted her picture.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, because I said
by the way,
I said Brad Stevens should give her 4 years, $223 million.
I'm going to give credit to Anthony Davis. I'll probably give credit again. You probably already heard me give credit, but he clearly shouldn't have played tonight. And he was like, I'll come out. I'll play for 5 minutes. Everyone will be like, I'm tough as fuck. And then I'm out.
Okay, so AJ Today's slides in the DMs. She says, WTF, tag me, babe, and then sad face.
Ooh.
I say, sorry, my fault. I do have one question, though. She replies, no, that's funny. That's funny. She thought I was going to ask her for nudes. I didn't. I said, what order did they go in? And then she replies with a voice message.
Ooh.
Baby, what the fuck is you talking about? I just want to suck dick. I don't know. Bonk. All this other extra shit. Are you asking me what order is the Suns team going? Because, baby, that was fucking 3 years ago. I don't know. All I know is Devin was first, and I don't care about the rest.
All right, so
I don't know the order, but here's the order.
Star power. Devin went first.
Wow. That is an exclusive.
Stars get all the calls in this.
Damn.
Do you think the Phoenix Gorilla got sucked off?
Probably. Hang out long enough.
Got to figure that one out.
Now Chris Paul is hurt. All right. Let's get to our interview with Chris Bosch. You already heard us talk about the game. This is when time traveling doesn't work for us because we get caught in our own time portal. Like, think about
that. Yeah,
this
is weird. I don't know.
You heard us talking about the Lakers game, but now you're hearing us talk about the Lakers game. Live. Literally live. I just crushed everyone's brain in here. What, Hank? What?
All right, we did the ad read, and then you started the show talking about Coach K.
Right.
When are we putting in the beginning?
After this game.
But where in the, like,
we're doing Electric Avenue. We're starting Electric it again. Avenue. We're Welcome. Doing Electric Avenue twice.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Wait, we're doing two.
I know. We're gonna do the full LeBron thing, and you're gonna be like in Electric Avenue again.
No, I'm be like, I'm gonna do the ad. We're gonna do the full LeBron thing. Then I'm gonna do the ad. And
how
then
are you starting like, the LeBron here's thing? How the
I'm gonna say, welcome to part of my take. Today is Friday. LeBron James is dead.
And what do we do with the welcome to part of my take, Coach K?
I'm going to say at the end of the Lakers thing, and here is the beginning that we already taped.
Okay.
Double beginning. Because Coach K deserves his own beginning. He does. You can't have Coach K just come in the middle of a show.
I'm still very... I'm also...
It will all make sense.
I get it now.
It's all going to make sense.
I'm happy the listeners got to take that
journey.
This
was actually good. Yeah, this was good that everyone
figured it out. I'm pretty sure I got it right. I'm sure someone might... Correct me if I...
No, I think you got it right.
Edit this incorrectly.
You got it right.
I think we're on the
yeah,
same page.
Yeah, you have it exactly right.
All right.
All right, let's get to Chris
Before
Bosch.
We get to Chris Bosch, though, Big Cat, Liquid IV. You're going to get dehydrated this weekend. I can already tell. It's going to be nice outside. You're going to be having a couple cocktails with the boys, a couple cocktails with the ladies, and you're going to want to rehydrate. Best way to do that is Liquid IV. Liquid IV is great when you push your body hard, when you feel run down. You got to stay hydrated. Got to make hydration a priority. It helps you feel better on a day-to-day basis. And with one stick of Liquid IV, you just pour it in 16 ounces of water. It adds a nice flavor. You get 2 to 3 times the amount of hydration as plain water. Liquid IV is the best first thing in the morning. It's great before a workout. It's even great after workout for a hangover, just for daily hydration maintenance. You got to stay hydrated. You look better. You feel better when you're hydrated. Liquid IV contains 5 essential vitamins. It's got more vitamin C than an orange. It's got as much potassium as a banana. It provides 2 to 3 times more hydration than water alone, and it tastes great. It's got the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium, so you get water and nutrients directly into your bloodstream. It's a perfect balance to help you hydrate more quickly and effectively than water alone. Again, you just pour one stick into about 16 ounces of water. You're good to go, and the company is donating 4 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, active military. Liquid IV has donated over 10 million servings globally. Get your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com. Use promo code TAKE at checkout. 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code TAKE at liquidiv.com. Here's Chris Bosch.
Okay, we now welcome on recurring guest Hall of Famer, because he's going to be an NBA or basketball Hall of Famer. He is a 2-time NBA champ. He's an 11-time All-Star, and he just added author to his resume. It is Chris Bosch. He has a new book out called Letters to a Young Athlete, forwarded by Pat Riley, no big deal. So, Chris, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. I was perusing your book. I started it. I'm not really a book finisher, but I started it. And I wanted to start the interview with the chapter on the gift of hunger. So I love the idea of athletes being like the hunger that drives athletes and being able to repeat, which you guys did in the 2012-2013 season. And then you lost to a hungrier team the next year in the Spurs. Mm. So how much is that like the drive to be truly great and the hunger to like when you're at the top to still find that hunger and still find that ability to keep climbing?
You know, if you're lucky to get to that point, you understand that it's incredibly hard. It's always easy to have the hunger before you get it. And I always tell people that when you have that goal that you haven't attained, I mean, it's so awesome going after it. You've got the energy. You know what you're doing. You've got the vigor. You've got the intensity. Like, hey, guys, we got to go in there and, you know, we got to do what we do tonight. It's always a little easier to have the hunger. But then when you are successful, in our case, win an NBA championship, you know, you understand what it takes to be able to stay at that level. And it's not easy. And a lot of people would think like, a common misconception is that, and it happens to actual champions, that, you know, they get crowned and the next year everybody's wringing their necks, you know, hey, they're getting beat. You know, I think we even we saw with the Heat this year a little bit, you know, not that they even though they weren't successful, you still go to the finals. People are going to be ready for you. Now you're not the hunter anymore. You're the hunted. So now Everybody's watching your film. Everybody's looking at how to stop you and your team. You know, it's the basis of conversation, and you work your way to a level of when you're getting everybody's best every night. So in preparation for that, you have to know you have that hunger to get better every day, regardless of the situation, you know, and that was one of the things that helped me. You know, I wanted to be my best. I wanted to do the best. It didn't, money, fame, all that stuff did not matter. I wanted to maximize my talent. I wanted to be the best basketball player and the best teammate I could be and make that the best team it could be.
And are you a guy that like thrives off of criticism? Do you use that as motivation? Because I would think that getting the first one, you could almost look at that bulletin board material and it would be a little bit more impactful. Like, people doubt that you can do it. But then after you get that first one, then, you know, the people that are starting to doubt you, kind of in the back of your mind, you might be like, well, these guys are idiots because they've already won. And, you know, you're able to kind of dismiss some of that criticism a little bit. But at the same time, does that kind of extinguish a little bit of that desire to prove them wrong?
I mean, you know what, to be honest, I'd be lying if I told you like, oh, yeah, I don't. If I feel that someone thinks I'm not going to be successful, it doesn't drive me. Of course it does. I worked my way to a balance of not really worrying about the actual words, you know, and the actual criticism. It was just the criticism overall and saying, oh, yeah, you can't win. Now, then it kind of gets into details and, you know, it's cruel out there, man. They'll talk about your family. They'll talk about everything just to try to get in your head. But after a while, I didn't allow that stuff to happen. I didn't pay attention to it. It didn't mean anything to me. You know, it's worth, you know, how much it costs to read it. It's free. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. And if you want to pay attention to that, you're just debilitating yourself, because you could be putting that energy into your game. That's what I found out. Like, okay, all right, I can't shoot. We're not going to win this year because there's no outside shooting. Watch this, because I'm working. I'm in the lab. I'm doing my thing. So those things, anytime I got wind of it or felt it, I would go in the gym and work out. And that's how I will work out my frustration, as opposed to, you know, using my thumbs on the screen.
Yeah. So a lot of your book is about being, like, you know, a good teammate and putting the team first. And I'm happy we have you on, because I got into a discussion online the other day. We're taping this before game 6 of Lakers Suns, so we don't know what happens there. But game 5, LeBron leaves the court and heads into the locker room with about 5:45 left in the game. I understand he needs treatment. He's older in his career. He's got to start recuperating for game 6. But on the face value there, it seems like a little bit of a fuck you to your teammates. You were LeBron's teammate. You know how hard that can be sometimes. Do you see that moment? You're like, LeBron probably should have stayed on the bench for the extra 5 minutes because his guys are still fighting out there, even though they played poorly.
Yeah, look, you know, I say this in the book as well. You know, you want to make sure you're on your P's and Q's from the moment you step out of your house and into that locker room. You're being watched. So you want to make the right decisions. One of our goals was to not give any wiggle room for any misinterpretation. You know, if it were up to me, yeah, sure. I would be like, yeah, you know, stay. Let's just take this ass whooping, man. I know I don't want to watch the rest of it either, but we have to. Because if it, you know, and I'm sure, you know, LeBron, you know, I'm sure the coaching staff knew, I'm sure he had approval, but just now that gets kind of lost in the shuffle, just in the moment. Like, you know, if it were me, yeah, I would just stay there. Just take it, because now, right, we're talking about it. Now it's a possible thing. And now it adds on to the frustration and everything that is going to be promised if you're in the pursuit of any goal, you know? So, I mean, you know, they could have handled that differently, but at the end of the day, I'm sure it's an internal team decision. I'm sure that all the checks and balances were made before he did that, because, you know, of course, he does not want to be disrespectful. It's just the misinterpretation of everything can happen. And so, you know, that's why I would, you know, I just like, okay, let me stay put. I'll put in extra time. I don't want to. I would rather go in and get treatment right now, but let me just stay right here right now.
Right.
But, you know, all in all, we'll see what happens. I mean, if they win this series, we won't even be talking about it. You know, it'll be passed on, and they'll have other challenges.
It's a good point.
Yeah. So, like, in the interest of like leaving a little bit early to get treatment on an injury, would that actually make a difference in your opinion? I know, like, I don't know if you've had the same injury that he has. He says he's never going to be 100% from his ankle. He's got one eye, his shoulder's pretty much dislocated, and there's something else too, right? I feel like there's something. He's seeing three rims.
Yeah.
Triple blurred
the
vision.
The wine
issues. Have you ever had an injury where you can actually tell, like, yeah, I got an extra 15 minutes of treatment on this and it feels actually better?
I think when you're at that point, it just hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just trying to get as much treatment on it as possible because it's necessary. This is like, it's just like the routine. It's a part of after the game. You know, I don't want to speak for him, but being a vet, you know, former vet, knowing the thing, they wanted to get the treatment because he put in his head, okay, it takes a long time. It takes 30, 40 minutes, 45 minutes. And this is after a game, if not an hour. And so he's got to shower. He's got to change. He's got media obligations and he's got to get his treatment and they still have to get on the plane and go back to LA, you know? So just trying to trim down those minutes. I could see them doing that so they could get out of the arena faster. Cause yeah, you after butt whooping, you want to get the hell out of there. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's fascinating watching these playoffs because you see obviously the bubble happened and then 8 weeks later, the season starts. And on the East side, the two teams that played in the Eastern Conference final last year are already out, the Celtics and the Heat. On the West side, you have, you know, one of the teams, the Lakers, on the ropes, and the Nuggets are also in a competitive series. How much have you talked to guys? Like, how much was that turnaround affecting their ability to play a full season, 72 games, and then get back in the playoffs? Is it really like, because we're sitting here, we're like, oh, you're athletes, go out and do it. But it probably is brutal to go from season to season that quickly, right?
I couldn't imagine. I know how I felt. Like, you win a championship, you really get like 2 months and 3 weeks off. And this is just work out. When I say off, this just means you can work from home.
Right.
You know, this is not counting the hours in, you know, working on your game, your craft, your body in the summer, you know, so roughly 2.5 months, 2 month turnaround after psychologically dealing with the pandemic and then psychologically dealing with that bubble. And then you finally get home. Now, all right, let's go. And you can't go anywhere because you're used to going somewhere in the summer. At least I can go somewhere in the summer because, you know, I finally have a little bit of free time. That didn't happen. And then we're right back in it. Yeah, I haven't talked to any of the guys how grueling the season was. And you know, people have to remember we're just now getting to a moment of loosening up the restrictions.
Yeah.
Guys were getting two tests a day before they could even play. That's every day, you know, every game day, and then at least one to get in the arena to practice, you know? So dealing with that, dealing with going on the road and not being able to go anywhere, that sucks. And then, you know, really just seeing how many injuries there are, you know, Murray's out, Embiid's out. Mitchell was out.
Anthony Davis
was out.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis. I mean, it's just you can see the grind really, really getting the guys. But I could only imagine. I mean, that definitely plays a role. It's extremely difficult and it's hard. It's hard to compete at that. And especially those teams that went deep in the playoffs. Yeah, we're seeing the effect of it on every team. And, you know, hopefully the league will get back on track after this year. You know, hopefully, you know, we finish out the year, crown a champion, all that stuff. But getting back to the regular way, I think that'll be a better clock for everybody.
Yeah. And it is kind of like the regular way in these playoffs because you have fans back again. It's not the bubble anymore. You've had a couple of high profile instances of fans crossing a line, whether it be throwing stuff at a player, are just kind of acting up. We, like, first of all, we disavow any fan that would do something like that.
Disavow.
Yeah, secondly,
absolutely.
I feel like we need to do a better job talking about the 19,000 people at every game that aren't throwing water bottles. So by and large, everyone's doing okay. There are a few bad apples out there, but I'm curious, like, was there any environment that you would go into as a player Like whether let's just take like the Raptors and the Heat out of it. But was there an environment you go into and you'd be like, I really respect how passionate this one fan base is. It's very tough to play here. Or was there one where you're like, these fans are a little bit out of control when it comes to a particular team?
Yes. Yes to both. I will give props to the fans at OKC. Tremendous fans. They root for their team, polite, but it's not vulgar. They were never vulgar. Very, very loud. One of the loudest places in the world to play when it's rocking in there. And especially during that time a few years back. Woo, tough place to play. I won't name the cities, but I will say that I can guarantee you that if the things that we heard during the Big Three era playing on the road, I've never heard, you know, anything worse than that. I mean, you probably have to go back in history to kind of really get a good sense. But, you know, yeah, I mean, you hear those things and you hear the unsavory fans. And kind of like you were saying, I said the same thing earlier. I don't want, you know, one or few people because of their disgusting behavior to ruin the rest, the thousands of people there that are there to cheer their team and watch a great performance, you know. And you know, I'm a guy, look, I'm pretty liberal with that stuff, right? Man, cheer for your team, tell me I suck, you know, tell me I can't do anything. Man, do your research and be clever and just try to get in my head. But don't, you know, we know the lines that are being crossed, like, come on, like spitting, throwing things. These are things that we tell our preschool children, right, not to do. And so, you know, the people, come on, we got to be up and up because we want to enjoy this stuff. We just got back to it. And then we don't want to see those things because somebody had a bad day or doesn't like themselves, or they're just so unhappy with their situation, they start doing crazy stuff. We want to all enjoy the game. We just got it back in this instance, right? So, you know, it has no place in our game or in any sport. And you know, I just encourage people, man, come on, you know, come on, be an adult. Let's cheer for our team, man. Have a couple beers, hang with the fellas, take a date out. But you know how to act.
Yeah, we're gonna get back to Chris Bosch in a second, but before we do, I want to talk to you about Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer is our favorite seltzer drink there is. Summer's here, and Coors is going to make our summers even better with their new limited edition flavor, Orange Cream Pop. Orange Cream Pop is delicious. I had one the other day. I spotted a case of it, put it in the fridge here at Barstool HQ, popped one open while we were watching the game. It is delicious. It is the real deal. It's my favorite flavor of Coors Seltzer that they have out there. It's 4.5% ABV, only 90 calories, and it comes in a 12-pack. It's the perfect refreshing treat for a hot summer day. While you're drinking the new Orange Cream Pop flavor, you're helping our mission to save the rivers. Every 12-pack sold gets you over 500 gallons of river water saved. The Coors Seltzer scoreboard is tracking how many gallons of river water that we're saving all year long. We've saved more than 37,000 gallons of river water with a whole summer ahead of us. The goal is to restore 1 million gallons of river water with 2,000 cases of Coors Seltzer. If we hit 2,000 cases, Hank is going to have to go fishing in the East River and prove that he can catch a fish with his mouth.
Of Alaska.
East River of Alaska. Mm-hmm. And catch a fish with your mouth. Just clean it up like it's like you're a bear in there. If we hit 2,000 cases, that is, that's what Hank will be doing. And if you tweet in a picture of your Coors Seltzer with hashtag LetHankFish, for every pick, we count as one case added to the scoreboard. So when we get to 500 gallons, boom, Hank's out of here. Hank might not even come back. He might just go to Alaska and live out his days there like that kid from Into the Wild that lived in a school bus and lived happily ever after. We can only hope. Celebrate responsibly. For every 12-pack sold in, through 12/31/2021, Coors will purchase services from Change the Course to restore 500 gallons of fresh river water, max 5 billion gallons through 2021. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. You said something there. It was really interesting because I think I just read a similar thing in the New York Times. They did a profile on Kevin Durant, and he mentioned that kind of the same thing that you did, which is if somebody's out of line towards you, it's a reflection on themselves and how they feel about themselves. But that's something that he kind of had to learn over the course of his career, where not, you know, the vulgar stuff, the bad stuff people were saying to him, 99% of the time, it was because they had a problem with their life, and they were just taking it out on this guy who appears on their TV that they're allowed to yell at in their minds when they see him in public. Is that something that, that took you a while to learn, or did you always have that mindset coming into it that if somebody's being a jerk, that's them, that's not me?
I kind of had to learn that. The only problem with that, you know, philosophy, the challenge, right? I don't want to say problem. The challenge is that when you hear it, you're still going to have your reaction. You know what I mean? You're still going to get mad. You're still going to feel the way you feel. And you're still going to question yourself, like, why? For what? You know what I mean? Like, well, one of the things that would anger me the most is just, you know, hearing stuff. Oh, yeah, Bosh, whatever, whatever. I won't repeat the BS. But, you know, it's like, man, I don't even know this dude. I'm sitting here playing. And then the thing isn't true. That's even makes it even worse, right? It's things that can be spun, things that people believe or things that are just not true. And then it's so passionate. I remember looking at some fans like, man, this person is really angry, like really angry. But just, you know, you have to remember that. You know, my goal, I always remember that my goal, and so I, you know, one of the points I make in the book, my goal was winning a championship. So unless these things happen, unless they're helping me, it cannot affect me. You know, I'm going to make sure I stay in the zone. These people talking, I hear you talking, but you're about to go home with this L, you know. And the funny thing, I've had confrontations with fans. The funny thing, I had one in Portland, right? And this was just one fan. And, you know, he said something to me and I didn't care for it. And it was, you know, BS. Okay. I take over the game in the fourth quarter, hit a crazy shot. We win. I look for the guy so I could talk to him again. Seats empty.
He was getting treatment. He left early to get a head start on it.
He was
out. That's a good one. But, you know, that's when I kind of realized, like, okay, all right, whatever, man. You know, let me not even pay attention to this stuff. But, you know, the fans do have to respect the game and just remember, like, you know, these are people that you're talking to.
Yeah, I mean, the it's obviously over the line when anyone throws something or drops something or spits, but I do like when you can feel in a series that fans don't like the other team and the teams don't like the other teams. Like even the Hawks beating the Knicks, they beat them pretty soundly, but Trae Young was really, like, you know, giving it to the fans, and it felt different. Was there a specific series where you, like, the trash talk was at a different level, or you could feel like, hey, this isn't a regular series. Like, this is, we hate this other team, they hate us, and we're going to just give it to each other the entire time.
Come on, guys, you watched it. You guys watched it. The Pacers, yep. The Bulls, the Celtics. I mean, I was telling people, like, man, we played in the toughest places, man. We played, and this is playoff basketball I'm talking about. We played in Philly, Chicago, Indiana, New York, you know, Boston, Brooklyn. We played in front of the toughest fans to play in front of. And there is an element to that, right? There is this thing to it. You know, it's a reason why you see the trash talkers and the showmen doing things, because it gets them in the mood, and it does, you know, create kind of a fervor around the situation. My thing is, hey, that thing can still be there and you can still despise the other team. Like us and the Celtics and the Bulls and all that, and the Pacers, we did not, it was known. They said it. We said it. The coaches said it. The family said it. We did not like each other while we're on this court, but you know, after the game is over, the game is over. And you know, you have sportsmanship, you play hard, and then afterwards you move on.
Yeah, so I'm scarred by LeBron and your Heat teams, and even when he was on the Cavs too, because I root for the Bulls, and they always would win the first game of the series. And LeBron, it's kind of weird looking back. Like, LeBron teams do give up the first game of a series and then come back. What? Is that, like, anything specific? Can you remember going into game once and, like, LeBron maybe being like, hey, this doesn't really matter as much? Or was there just a different vibe? Because it is more often than not that a LeBron team loses the first game of a series and then comes back and just, you know, wipes the floor with the team.
Well, game ones are hard, and usually LeBron-led teams wrap up, you know, a series pretty fairly quickly. So, you know, when you have that time off, you know, you lose a little bit of rhythm. One of the things I found difficult about game ones is coming into a new situation to where you've played a team so many times that you know their ins and outs, and then you have another game against another team. And so you have to kind of work into a rhythm of the playoffs. And, you know, in LeBron's case, the whole game plan is going to be centered around him. You know, so there's always a mode to figuring things out, right? And we were kind of the same way. You always go with the intent to win, right? But you never get too rattled if you lose that, you know, any game really. But you lose that game one, it's like, okay, what can we do to get better? Because it's usually trying to see what's going on, see the timing, you know, the defense, how they're guarding it, what they've changed in their schemes, what they've, you know, crafted for this series, how they're playing us, and really what we're doing to them, you know, that's working and not working. You know, it takes time to kind of decipher that. In game two, usually you have a better rhythm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You talked about some of the hardest places to play. You didn't mention San Antonio on that list.
That was just East Coast, I was just thinking East Coast, man.
I'm just curious about the time they turned the air conditioning off at their place. How hot was it in that stadium?
So, it was excruciatingly hot, okay? And this is how I remembered it. We were playing, you know, and I was warming up. You know, it's game one, and I'm pouring, sweating. And I'm just like, man, I must be ready. You know, wow, man, I'm in the zone today. We play the first half. And, you know, it's a lot going on. The finals is super intense. We go in at halftime. I'm not even aware of it. Spo, during the speech, he said, you know, we're going over everything in halftime. He said, hey, don't worry about how hot it is. Let's just go out there and play ball. I was like, what does he mean by that? I went back into the gym and was like, oh my God. We start playing, and it was miserable. It was miserable. Like, I mean, we were in the timeouts. I wanted to sit down, and that hurt. I sat like this. That hurt. I mean, everything hurt. We're looking down at the Spurs bench. They've got ice packs and fans and, you know, people massaging their legs and stuff like that. You know, we don't have any of that stuff, and we're just like, I just remember – you never been so hot to where wherever you move, it just moves with you.
Yeah.
Oh, and add a headache on that and it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
An iconic NBA Finals moment. All right. So other thing that happened in this playoffs or that has been happening in this playoffs that people talk about, Ben Simmons from the free throw line, Luka from the free throw line, who Luka's been incredible, but he's also struggled from the free throw line. Have you ever been around a guy, or is it happened to you where you're making them in practice, then you get to the game, and you, for some reason, it's just falling apart? And, like, what is that? Is that mental, physical? I'm always fascinated by a guy like Luka who can drop 40 and shoot, you know, three-pointers and fadeaways and all that, and then he gets a free throw, and he's shooting 40%.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think sometimes it is mental. But at least in my experience, sometimes, yeah, you can – and people don't realize this sometimes about NBA basketball. Usually when you're practicing free throws, nobody's around. You're on a different goal. You're not on that particular goal. The lights are different. The air is different. Everything is different. You can knock those shots down in practice. But then let's say you made 100 in a row. Okay, great. You're coming into the game confident. You missed the first one. It goes back rim. Those were the ones I hated. You shoot it. It feels good. It's the same routine. Everything you do right. Boom. What naturally happens next? Oh, that's going to be short. Boom. It's like this. It's this mental thing. And, you know, it is kind of getting a rhythm for that game that day. Hey, you know, you have to get used to the ball, used to the air, the crowd, the referees. And then you have to have this crazy concentration. You know, it's like playing another game on top of it, because I've shot free throws. I'm working on it, of course. I'm good. I know I can do this, and I'm missing every time. Oh, my God. What am I doing? I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't think Ben is doing anything wrong. He just has to make them.
Yeah.
You know? You just got to make them in the game. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Did you ever have a game where you missed a bunch of free throws?
Hell, yeah. And then that's the – you know, people start groaning. Oh, like, hey, guys, simmer down. I know.
Yeah,
uh-huh. You know, and then like I got this next one,
bloop, 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 bloop. Oh, my God. You know, it's just sometimes you can get into a mode where it's like, man, you try everything and it's just not working. But he just, both of them, they just have to find that rhythm in the game that works for them and then and just knock them down.
Does it ever get awkward after somebody's having, you know, maybe in the course of a game, they're not shooting well from the free throw line, and then you have to walk over to them and give them that little dap up after every single shot? Like, do you start walking a little bit slower after they drop below, like, 20% for the game? Or do you, at that point, do you have to be like, he needs me more now than ever, so I'm just going to hightail it over him?
The more you miss, I'm like, that's all right, come on. We good? All right, hey, let's get a stop. You know, you move on quick. You know, you can't really let it settle too much. You know, so if, for instance, in Ben's situation, if you miss another, hey, that's all right. Hey, this is what we're running next, guys. Make sure you get your matchups. All right, big fella, I'll knock it down. Mm-hmm. And that's really all you can do. You want to give that consistent reinforcement, that positive reinforcement, you know?
Yeah, free throws are fascinating to me because I know, and I'm not going to bring up bad things, but I do remember you had one night against the Bulls that was like atrocious, not free throws, but field goals. And so that's different to me because like guys miss shots, but free throws, they're free. What did you shoot that night? I forget.
I was with the Heat.
Yeah.
Brian and D didn't play.
Yeah. I think you were like one for 16.
I was two for 20. I was, no, we all played. I was one for 18, one for 17.
Sorry to bring that up. One for 17. How bad?
No, it's fine. Hey, I'm going to shoot the next one.
Yeah.
I'm only one. I was a scorer. I said, yo, I'm one shot away from being hot. That game, you know, that game, you know, the shots kept coming. I'm like, hey, I'm confident. And I said, golly, it just happens, you know. It's nothing you can do about it. Not like I didn't shoot it.
Right, that's the right attitude. I mean, the guys who start second guessing, that's when
it might have been one for 18. That number is in my head. I remember looking at it like
we're pulling up one for 18. Yeah, I remember
gonna,
it. Yeah, one for
18.
But you
did
go.
One.
Wait, you went 5 for 6 from the free throw line. There it is.
Make them when they count, baby.
And 9 rebounds. So that counts. 9 rebounds. You were putting up some stats.
I like that mentality, though. Next one's going in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Next one's going in. That's why I shot 18. That's why I went 1 for 18. That takes a special person to do that.
Yeah.
One for 18. Like, God.
I remember
that. That kid is special.
Yes.
I want to ask you real quick about a coach that you played for who's in the news today, Coach K, walking away from the game. You played for him on Team USA. First of all, did you get him anything for his retirement tour?
Man, I just found out yesterday. I'm gonna have to think of something. But yeah, Coach K, man, that's crazy. I was actually doing interviews, and someone told me as it happened.
Yeah. Or do you think that other ACC teams will get him things? Like, you remember when Derek Jeter retired, or David Ortiz, they had like little gifts for him. You think Georgia Tech should have like a little token of their appreciation?
Yeah, they should give him like a little calculator or something like that. Georgia Tech calculator. The good ones, though. The big, thick ones that you use in calculus class.
Yeah, they play Drug Wars on them.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you know, they play Snake and stuff like that.
Yes. All right, I know you got to go. I had one last question. So go check out Chris Bosch's new book. It's called Letters to a Young Athlete. In the book, does it have any letter saying, hey, when you're celebrating a championship, maybe don't spray the champagne with your mouth wide open because everyone's going to put the Brazzers logo on it.
The which logo on it?
The Brazzers logo. You know what that is. It's a porn site.
Oh, nah, you know what? I would say be yourself, man.
There it is. You know, yes.
I'm a champion. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't like, you know what I mean? I'm in the locker room with champagne, and it's the reason why it happened. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. How you like this? Make fun of this, bro.
Yeah, that is true. It
You'll
is
never know what it feels like
celebrating a championship. I just thought maybe it'd be great if it was like the after, you know, the PS and the end of the book. Be like, hey, just drink out of a cup.
Nah, bro, uninhibited.
I love it.
Not thinking about nothing. Being in my element, doing the same things I saw Jordan and Kobe do.
Yeah, you know, being yourself.
Iconic stuff, man. Be yourself.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Chris, it's always fun to have you on the show, man. We really, really appreciate it. Everyone go check out the book. It's a great book. I'm going to read the rest of it. I'm going to say that right now. Next time you're on. Next
time
you're on. You know what? That's the hunger to read this book.
Man, I had a hunger, man. Let me see if you have the hunger.
I do. All right, well, next time you're on, you're going to hold me to it, and we really appreciate it, man.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys, man.
All right.
Thanks. See you, man.
Thanks, man.
Fire Fest of the Week is sponsored by 3Chi. I'm not a drug guy, but I am a 3Chi guy, and 3Chi is the industry leader in Delta-8 THC products. All their products are formulated by a biochemist. They're made right here in the USA with USA-grown hemp. 3Chi's Delta-8 is a federally legal version of THC. It's a more functional alternative to marijuana. You get a great buzz from it, but you get a clearer head, you get less anxiety, you get less paranoid. It's available online at 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. And at select retailers all around the country. You might see other types of Delta 8 out there. Don't be fooled by the competitors. With 3chi, you know what you're getting. You're getting a great product. They invented the industry. They are the industry standard. It's the only Delta 8 that I will ever use. Go to 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. Shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils. Can be used to make homemade edibles. Use promo code PARDON at checkout to receive 5% off your order. We love 3Chi. Use promo code PARDON at checkout. Get 5% off your order.
All right, Fire Fest of the Week. Hank, start. You had a great week.
I had a tough week. Honestly, just a terrible week. I am texting Whitney and Biz right now. We just got word that a Chicklets listener won $30,000 tonight.
Wow, how'd they do that, Hank?
Play Barstool, the song contest that's been going along for a while. They thought it was never going to happen. They're telling me, like, it's impossible. 30K. And today, AWL won $1,000 thanks to Big Cat and Cornhole.
Wow. And I want to thank everyone in this room for thinking that I would win.
Yep, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I love my guys.
Never doubted you.
But, yeah, I had a tough week, tough day yesterday in particular. And I was getting roasted left and right, and I was watching the Sixers game, and I just asked a simple question on Twitter. Back in the day, I remember them. I couldn't remember exactly what happened, but I remember them, like, first-round series. They blew off confetti when they won, or they thought that they won.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like the tradition. So all I asked when the Sixers were clearly going to win the game, and I just asked, hey, Philly, are we doing confetti tonight?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They have confetti in the building for a first-round playoff series. And I got told to kill myself. I was getting roasted, DM, just really mean things online, and I had to deal with that. It's like
mental health.
Yeah, like I'm on
Hank.
Twitter,
honestly,
and I'm just trying
so
to get
toxic,
off some
Hank.
Sports takes.
Yeah,
it's just
and
so
I'm
toxic.
Getting like, hey, Hank, love the show, go kill yourself. So it's like they're like baiting me, like, hey, Hank, huge listener, your quick question, will you go kill yourself? And it's like, wow, man, I just want to talk sports.
Did they answer your question?
What?
Why aren't they doing confetti?
That's I don't know. No one they got so offended and they wouldn't even answer my question.
All they wanted to do is have you kill yourself.
Yeah.
You can't do confetti once. I agree with that.
Right.
Have you guys gotten
maybe it's a COVID thing? I don't know.
Have you guys gotten caught up by the new Twitter censor where they're like, "Hey, you sure you want to tweet this?"
Yeah, a lot. Yeah. It happens to me a lot.
I get it every day where they're like, "Hey, you sure you want to tell this airline you're going to skull fuck them?"
It's actually happened to me a couple times and saved me from tweeting at he who shall not be named, Darren Revell. When I've been replying, being like, fuck yourself, or suck my dick, asshole. And they're like, are you sure you want to tweet this? I'm like, actually, no. Thank you, Twitter.
I actually kind of, here, I'm just, Twitter, good job trying to make the site healthier, happier, all these things. Uh-huh. But I feel bad for the little guys out there. Like, especially Duke fans who listen to this show today,
mm-hmm.
they are going to be, there's going to be a speed bump when they tell me to kill myself. And there shouldn't be. They should be able to say that to me.
I mean, that's burner life for you.
Right. Like, I have no problem with the Duke fans who are mad at me to spout off and be like, I hope you get hit by a bus. That's fine.
That's a little bit different, though. Saying, like, I hope you get hit, because that's not saying, like, are they saying, I hope you intentionally get hit by a bus?
Yeah, and kills you.
I hope you provoke a bus into running you over?
Yes, yes.
There should honestly just be, like, are you sure that you want to tweet that? Are you sure you want to log on to Twitter every time?
Right.
That should be the welcome screen.
Yeah, like, hey, don't you have, like, a family and a life to live?
Yeah.
I think one of my best tweets ever was probably before I even worked anywhere, was just, like, if everyone had to tweet when they went on Twitter, Twitter would be a lot more real.
What?
Every time you go on Twitter,
uh-huh.
you have to tweet something.
Before it lets you log off.
Ew.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like you want to go on Twitter and scroll, you got
to
tweet
you
something.
You have to participate.
And if you don't
want to
tweet something, stay offline.
I like that. Yeah, I do like that, Hank.
Although, wouldn't that just mean like people tweet even more mean things at us?
No, I think it would honestly make Twitter like a way more
boring. It would be
boring
more real.
Yeah, no, but think about a troll, right? like they log on Twitter and they're like, you know, I have nothing really to say, so before I log off, I'm just going to stop by Hank's page and tell him to kill himself.
Well, that's happening anyway, so I don't even think that would matter.
I'm sorry though, Hank. Are you okay? Like, do you need some time off?
Yeah, I mean, I
Hank,
it is what it is.
It's okay to not be
okay.
I was
trying to take a deep breath, and
you did like a meme.
Trying to do the best.
You did like a meme earlier today. That
was the bell.
It was a bell that said like, "Ring this bell if you want to go on vacation." And Hank smashed the like button.
Well, that's like if you don't send this to 10 people, you have bad luck for life.
That's true.
I have to like those tweets.
Do people tag you in that and then you like those? Or do you just follow a bunch of like vacation meme accounts?
People send them to me.
Okay, because it's always funny. It happens probably 3 times a week where someone tries to snitch on Hank.
Uh-huh.
And it's such a fucking funny thing. It's like, to like this tweet if your boss doesn't let you take vacations. Oh my God, the Lakers are dead. This is great. You already heard us say that.
Is that it, Hank?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. My Fire Fest of the Week is I sprained my ankle.
It's 33-12?
Yes.
Whoa. That's awesome. My back is turned to the TV. I just looked up. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Well, now I got to think of another Fire Fest. I do
what,
have
Philadelphia fans also told you to kill yourself?
No, they would never do that to me.
Oh.
Because I
NFC beast.
I would not insult them online.
Yeah.
It's a mutual respect thing.
God forbid you ask a question.
Yeah. But I did sprain my ankle yesterday, which means I'll never be back to 100%.
That's true.
So I was walking home, stepped in a little pothole, and rolled my ankle pretty bad. Now it cracks every time I like move my ankle to the side.
Ugh.
And it was like a really sharp pain that I woke up in this morning. So I think that there's something structurally wrong there. But
that's got to be tough.
Came
Can
to work.
I get this- I'm going to get the scooter back.
Came to work.
I lost both of my scooters.
How do you lose a scooter?
I don't know.
Hang on.
I don't know. And
I rented one last summer, remember?
But I bought two.
Oh, you bought.
Shout out to one guy. There was one AWL. You going to crack it?
Yeah, just cracked a little bit.
There was one AWL who sold me his scooter for like $400, and I went and showed up to his apartment. He's like, yeah, my dad just died, so this is his scooter. And I was like, oh,
sorry.
Okay. But hey, it ran.
Yeah.
But that was heavy. It was a heavy moment.
You're telling me it's free. Like, I can, no one's going to, he's not going to be needing it anymore.
No, I gave him $400. But yeah, I lost both my scooters.
Yeah, it's tough because sprained ankle. It's like, yeah, there was a big part of me, Big Cat, that thought, like, maybe you should take the day off. Maybe you just, you know, just rest it up. But
yeah,
you know, podcast doesn't stop. Had to come in, had to talk about Coach K and LeBron and
Big
everything.
Day,
and
yeah.
Danny Ainge and the whole thing, Brad Stevens. So had to sack up at this point. But it is, my ankle will never be the same from this point forward. And it's a little bit swollen. It's a little bit stiff. And then to compound my Fire Fest, I have to spend all day on Saturday moving a friend.
Oh.
And they did not get movers.
Oh, no.
Apparently all the movers all the movers were booked.
How old is this friend?
Pretty old. And then
how old?
Pretty old.
36?
And older.
Bonk.
What?
Yeah, older.
Bonk.
Dude, I want this person's email. I want to email this person.
It's an older person. But the bottom line is
what?
Not only
what am I missing?
Not only is it bad.
But
then I just got my elevator fixed. Great timing, right? Great timing. Got a sprained ankle. Elevator finally fixed after 2 months. Then I got an email about 30 minutes ago saying, bad news, the elevator is going to be out tomorrow.
You're dead.
So now I got to take the stairs again.
You over the age of 25, you should hire a mover.
I agree. I am that mover in this case.
Yeah.
Though, so.
Well, are you hired?
No.
Okay. You need to get hired. All right. My Fire Fest is... I've officially, I'm obviously already a dad, but the final straw has happened.
Second kid?
No, the second kid has forced this.
You get a vasectomy?
Nope. Might go for three, might go four, who the fuck knows. I fall asleep, like, if I am laying down on something for more than 5 minutes, I'm asleep.
So
dad naps.
I passed out during the early games, the end of the early games yesterday, but... The cycle was I woke up after they were already over, and then I couldn't get back to sleep. So if you just fall asleep for an hour in the evening, you get a second wind.
Yes.
And I was up until like 2 a.m. last night.
But I'm saying like you took a nap. Like I was like watching Elmo with my son, and my head like happened to graze a pillow, and then next thing I know, I had slept for 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's just, tough you know life. How dads can do that? Where like your dad, if he's sitting in a chair and you're like, hey, are you still up? It's like the first quarter of the game. And he's like, yeah, yeah, I'm still up. It's like, no, you aren't. Your eyes are closed.
Have you started to do the thing where your head tilts back and
then you catch
yourself? Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. It's just bad. It's demoralizing to know that, like, I can never, if I lay down for even a second, I'm going to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Jake.
Last week, I went in the elevator.
You went viral?
Ripped out a fart. By myself, and then this old lady just walked in, and there was no one else there.
Jacob!
It was me.
Was she wearing a mask at least?
Yes.
Okay.
Jake!
But I felt bad.
Did you apologize?
It was clearly me. No, I didn't say anything.
You ripped a fart in an elevator?
I was by myself at the time.
Jake, that's not like you to not take credit for something that's going around that people think is you.
Yeah.
Jake, you can't do that.
You've done it.
Oh, I do it on purpose.
I don't.
I mean, I did it on purpose too.
Wait, no, you didn't.
Was this on the?
You don't.
Was
fart
this on the
purpose?
Clock?
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't. No chance.
What? Was this on the clock?
Did you say anything to her when you got out? Like, have a nice day. Like, sorry, or like, did you just move?
Smell you later.
No,
you should have just said to her, like, hey, did you fart?
No,
that would have been great.
It's just bad timing.
Hey, did you queef?
Wait, was it this elevator right here?
No, it was not here.
Oh, is that your
apartment building?
Okay. Well, you're moving soon.
You were just a little too early.
Yeah.
Oh.
What if she died?
We'll see.
You're not going to move?
We'll see if I can get a deal.
Jake, what if you died on that elevator?
What?
What if she died on that elevator, like, after you got off?
I would have felt really, really bad. But
if we give you a deal, you have to live with Billy.
Ooh.
I don't know about that
one. When you do move, I have a strong, young 27-year-old who can move you.
Great.
With a slightly broken ankle.
I will not do it. That's the main reason I didn't move out of my place, even though I've got water damage and the elevator never works.
You're going to die in that apartment.
I will. I don't want to move anymore. I'm set. This is my place. You'll carry me out of there in a pine box.
All right. Great show. Great show.
Love you guys.
Hank, great show.
52. Yeah.
18. I mean, the start was great.
I think I talked too much, but.
Six. No, you didn't. 99.
Nobody tell Hank that he talked too much and that he should kill
himself. 89. If you say that Hank talked too much, if you want to say Hank talked too much, just go with Hank, kill yourself. It's much easier that way because you can't talk if you're dead.
This is worse than when you told people to say suck timer. Our dicks when you see that someone else in public.
Well, the problem is if you actually do, you should actually be cheering this
like
on,
my,
Hank.
My mom's going to go on my Twitter. She's going to listen to this, probably. But she's going to go on my God forbid, my mom goes on my Twitter account tomorrow. And every reply to every tweet is telling me to kill myself.
Just imagine next
But you know
time.
What? It's a good thing because Twitter will ban them for saying that.
Yeah. I just
so,
imagine
like, joke will be on them.
I just imagine though the next time Hank's on a family vacation and people just pass him in the street and like, Hank, why don't you go kill yourself?
That's so mean.
Don't say that.
Do not.
Jake, what's meaner? Like telling Hank to kill himself or to strongly imply that he should kill himself by stepping over his body?
Both are really bad. I mean, people can't joke about that. It's so mean.
Yeah.
You started the downfall of Hank Lockwood.
No.
Yeah. All of these things that have happened to him are your fault.
No, Hank and I are on the same side of the Coach K thing. He deserves respect.
Hank's back. He just gave away $30,000 tonight.
Oh, man.
31.
Play
31.
Go to Play Barstool.
Mm-hmm. I have facts if you guys want them or we can save them.
Yeah, do it.
Sure.
Which one?
Animal.
Save them.
When kangaroos are threatened by a predator, they lead their attacker into the water and attempt to drown them.
Oh.
You're not even. You wouldn't even be considered a predator to a kangaroo.
Jake Paul would beg to differ.
I would fuck a kangaroo.
Who? Yeah, you got clouted by
who,
Jake Paul.
Who did
yeah,
Jake
but
Paul
he didn't tag me.
You fell, yeah, right. You fell right into his clout trap.
What?
He clout trapped you.
Okay. Who do you say
Great.
That you could beat up?
Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, who he's fighting.
Oh. Does Tyron Woodley have a windpipe?
No, well, I Billy is forever mine.
No, but does Tyron Woodley have a windpipe?
I would assume so.
Then you could beat him up.
I snap it. Yeah. Well, no, because I have boxing gloves on.
You can still snap
it. It would tough to beat. But Billy would do the fight.
Mm.
Billy does all my fights. Except for animals. I'll fight any animal.
Love you guys.
Just come on. Go. You have a gun, bitch. Go get it. It's a BB gun, dumbass.